The Diamond Sutra. Thus have I heard. Once the Bhagavan was dwelling near Sauvasti in the Anathapindada garden of Jetta Forest, together with the full assembly of 1,250 monks. One day before noon, the Bhagavan put on his patched robe, picked up his bowl, and entered the capital of Sauvasti for offerings. After begging for food in the city and eating his meal of rice, he returned from his daily round in the afternoon. Putting his robe and his bowl away, he washed his feet and sat down on the seat set aside for him. After crossing his legs and adjusting his body, he turned his attention to what was before him. A number of monks then came up to where the Bhagavan was sitting. After touching their heads to his feet, they walked around him to the right three times and sat down to one side. On this occasion, the Venerable Subhuti was also present in the assembly. Rising from his seat, he uncovered one shoulder and touched his right knee to the ground. Pressing his palms together and bowing to the Buddha, he said, "It is rare, Bhagavan, most rare indeed, Saguta, how the Tathagata, the Arhan, the fully enlightened one, blesses bodhisattvas with the best of blessings. And it is rare, Bhagavan, how the Tathagata, the Arhan, the fully enlightened one, entrusts bodhisattvas with the greatest of trusts. Even so, Bhagavan, if a noble son or daughter should set forth on the bodhisattva path, how should they act? How should they practice? How should they control their thoughts?" The Buddha told the Venerable Subhuti, "Well said, Subhuti, well said." "So it is, Subhuti. It is as you say. The Tathagata blesses bodhisattvas with the best of blessings and entrusts bodhisattvas with the greatest of trusts. You should therefore listen, Subhuti, and ponder this well. I shall tell you how someone who sets forth on the bodhisattva path should act, how they should practice, and how they should control their thoughts." The Venerable Subhuti answered, "May it be so, Bhagavan," and gave his full attention. The Buddha said to him, "Subhuti, those who would set forth on the Bodhisattva path should think this thought. However many beings there are, in whatever realms of being might exist, whether they are born from an egg or born from a womb, born from the water or born from the air, whether they have form or no form, whether they are able to perceive or not perceive, or neither perceive nor not perceive, in whatever conceivable realm of being one might conceive of beings, in the realm of unconditioned nirvana, I shall liberate them all. And though I thus liberate countless beings, not a single being is liberated. And how so? Sabuti, a bodhisattva to whom the conception of a being occurs, cannot be called a bodhisattva. And why is that? Sabuti, no one can be called a bodhisattva who conceives of a being, a life, or a soul. Moreover, Sabuti, when a bodhisattva gives a gift, they should not be attached to an object. When they give a gift, they should not be attached to anything at all. They should not be attached to a sight when they give a gift, nor should they be attached to a sound, a smell, a taste, a touch, or a dharma when they give a gift. Sabuti, bodhisattvas should give a gift in this manner without being attached to any conception of its characteristics. And why is that? Sabuti, the body of merit of those bodhisattvas who give a gift without being attached isn't easy to measure. What do you think, Sabuti? Is the space to the east easy to measure? Sabuti replied, no, it isn't, Bhagavan. The Buddha said, likewise, is the space to the south, to the west, to the north, in between, above, below, or in any of the 10 directions, easy to measure? Sabuti replied, no, it isn't, Bhagavan. The Buddha said, in the same way, Sabuti, the body of merit of those bodhisattvas who give a gift without being attached isn't easy to measure. Thus, Sabuti, those who set forth on the bodhisattva path should give a gift without being attached to any conception of its characteristics. What do you think, Sabuti? Can the Tathagata be seen by means of the acquisition of attributes? Sabuti replied, no, Bhagavan, the Tathagata cannot be seen by means of the acquisition of attributes. And why not? Bhagavan, the Tathagata speaks of the acquisition of attributes as the acquisition of no attributes. The Buddha then told the Venerable Subhuti, since attributes are a fabrication, Subhuti, no attributes are no fabrication. Hence, by means of attributes that are no attributes, the Tathagata can, indeed, be seen. Hearing this, the Venerable Subhuti asked the Buddha, Bhagavan, will there be beings in the future, in the final epoch, in the final period, in the final 500 years of the Dharma ending age, who think the words of a sutra like the one spoken here are true? The Buddha said, Subhuti, do not ask, will there be beings in the future, in the final epoch, in the final period, in the final 500 years of the Dharma ending age, who thinks the words of a sutra like the one spoken here are true? Surely, Subhuti, in the future, in the final epoch, in the final period, in the final 500 years of the Dharma ending age, there will be fearless bodhisattvas who are capable, virtuous, and wise, who think the words of a sutra like the one spoken here are true. Indeed, Subhuti, such bodhisattvas will have honored not just one Buddha or planted auspicious roots before not just one Buddha. Surely, Subhuti, such bodhisattvas will have honored countless hundreds and thousands of Buddhas and will have planted auspicious roots before countless hundreds and thousands of Buddhas. In the words of a sutra like the one spoken here, they are sure to gain an unshakable confidence. The Tathagata knows them, Subhuti, and the Tathagata sees them, Subhuti, for they all produce and obtain a measureless, infinite body of merit. And how so? Because, Subhuti, the idea of a self does not occur to such bodhisattvas. Neither does the idea of a being, a life, or a soul. Neither, Subhuti, does the idea of a Dharma occur to such bodhisattvas, much less that of no Dharma. Neither an idea, Subhuti, nor no idea occurs to them. And why not? Because, Subhuti, if the idea of a Dharma occurred to these bodhisattvas, they would be attached to a self, a being, a life, or a soul. Likewise, if the idea of no Dharma occurred to them, they would be attached to a self, a being, a life, or a soul. And how so? Because, Sabuti, a bodhisattva is not attached to a Dharma, much less to no Dharma. This is the meaning behind the Tathagata's saying, "The teaching of a Dharma is like a raft. If you should let go of Dharmas, how much more so no Dharmas?" The Buddha then asked the Venerable Sabuti, "What do you think, Sabuti? Did the Tathagata realize any such Dharma as unexcelled, perfect enlightenment? Or does the Tathagata teach any such Dharma?" The Venerable Sabuti answered, "Bhagavan, as I understand the meaning of what the Buddha has said, the Tathagata did not realize any such Dharma as unexcelled, perfect enlightenment. Nor does the Tathagata teach such a Dharma. And why not? Because this Dharma realized and taught by the Tathagata is ungraspable and inexpressible and is neither a Dharma nor no Dharma. And why is that? Because sages arise from what is unconditioned." The Buddha said, "Sabuti, what do you think? If some noble son or daughter filled the billion worlds of this universe with the seven treasures and gave them as a gift to the Tathagatas, the Arhants, the fully enlightened ones, would the body of merit produced as a result by this noble son or daughter be great?" Sabuti answered, "It would be great, Bhagavan. The body of merit produced as a result by that noble son or daughter would be great, Saguta." "And how so?" "Bhagavan, what the Tathagata says is a body of merit. The Tathagata has said is no body. Thus does the Tathagata speak of a body of merit as a body of merit." The Buddha said, "Sabuti, if instead of filling the billion worlds of this universe with the seven treasures and giving them as a gift to the Tathagatas, the Arhants, the fully enlightened ones, this noble son or daughter took but one four-line verse of this teaching and made it known and explained it in detail to others, the body of merit produced as a result would be immeasurably, infinitely greater." "And how so?" "Sabuti, From this is born the unexcelled perfect enlightenment of Tathagatas, Arhants, and fully enlightened ones. From this are born Buddhas and Bhagavans. And how so? Buddha Dharmas, Sabuti. Buddha Dharmas are spoken of by the Tathagata as no Buddha Dharmas. Thus does he speak of Buddha Dharmas. What do you think, Sabuti? Does it occur to those who enter the river? I have attained the goal of entering the river. Sabuti replied, No, indeed, Bhagavan. It does not occur to those who enter the river. I have attained the goal of entering the river. And why not? Bhagavan, they do not enter any such dharma. Thus are they said to enter the river. They do not enter a sight, nor do they enter a sound, a smell, a taste, a touch, or a dharma. Thus are they said to enter the river. The Buddha said, What do you think, Sabuti? Does it occur to those who return once more? I have attained the goal of returning once more. Sabuti replied, No, indeed, Bhagavan. It does not occur to those who return once more. I have attained the goal of returning once more. And why not? Bhagavan, they do not attain any such dharma as returning once more. Thus are they said to return once more. The Buddha said, What do you think, Sabuti? Does it occur to those who return no more? I have attained the goal of returning no more. Sabuti replied, No, indeed, Bhagavan. And why not? Bhagavan, they do not attain any such dharma as returning no more. Thus are they said to return no more. The Buddha said, What do you think, Sabuti? Does it occur to those who become free from rebirth? I have attained the goal of freedom from rebirth. Sabuti replied, No, indeed, Bhagavan. And why not? Bhagavan, there is no such dharma as freedom from rebirth. Thus are they said to be free from rebirth. If, Bhagavan, it should occur to those who become free from rebirth, I have attained the goal of freedom from rebirth. Attachment to a self would exist, or attachment to a being, attachment to a life, attachment to a soul would exist. And how so? Bhagavan, the Tathagata, the Arhan, the fully enlightened one, has declared that I am foremost among those who dwell free of passion. Though I am free from rebirth and without desires, Bhagavan, I do not think I am free from rebirth and without desires. Bhagavan, if I thought I have attained the goal of freedom from rebirth, the Tathagata would not have singled me out by saying, foremost among those who dwell free of passion is the noble son Sabuti, for he dwells nowhere at all. Thus is he said to be one who dwells free of passion, who dwells free of passion. The Buddha said, Sabuti, what do you think? Did the Tathagata attain any such dharma in the presence of Dipankara Tathagata, the Arhan, the fully enlightened one? Sabuti replied, no, indeed, Bhagavan. The Tathagata did not attain any such dharma in the presence of Dipankara Tathagata, the Arhan, the fully enlightened one. The Buddha said, Sabuti, if any bodhisattva should thereby claim, I shall bring about a transformation of the world, their claim would be untrue. And how so? A transformation of the world, Sabuti, a transformation of the world is said by the Tathagata to be no transformation. Thus does he speak of a transformation of the world. Therefore, Sabuti, a bodhisattva's thoughts should not be attached to anything. Their thoughts should not be attached to a sight, nor should their thoughts be attached to a sound, a smell, a taste, a touch, or a dharma. Sabuti, imagine a person with an immense, perfect body whose bodily existence is like that of Mount Sumeru. What do you think, Sabuti? Would such bodily existence be great? Sabuti replied, it would be great, Bhagavan. Such bodily existence would be great, Sugata. And how so? Because bodily existence, Bhagavan, bodily existence is said by the Tathagata to be no existence. Thus does he speak of bodily existence. The Buddha said, Sabuti, what do you think? If there were as many rivers as there are grains of sand in the Ganges, would the number of grains of sand in all those rivers be great? Sabuti replied, the number of rivers would be great, Bhagavan. How much more so their grains of sand? The Buddha said, I will tell you, Sabuti, so you will know if a man or woman filled as many worlds as there are grains of sand in those rivers with the seven treasures and gave them as a gift to the Tathagatas, the Arhats, the fully enlightened ones. What do you think, Subhuti? Would the body of merit produced as a result by that man or woman be great? Subhuti replied, it would be great, Bhagavan, great indeed, Saguta. The body of merit produced as a result by that man or woman would be great. The Buddha said, Subhuti, if instead of giving the gift of all those worlds filled with the seven treasures, a noble son or daughter grasped but one four-line verse of this teaching and made it known and explained it to others, the body of merit produced as a result would be immeasurably, infinitely greater. Furthermore, Subhuti, in the world of devas, humans, and asuras, wherever a single four-line verse of this teaching is spoken or explained, that place will be a sanctuary. How much more so, Subhuti, if someone memorizes, recites, and masters this entire teaching and explains it in detail to others? For in that place, Subhuti, will dwell a teacher or one who represents a great sage. Upon hearing these words, the Venerable Subhuti asked, Bhagavan, what is the name of this teaching, and how should we remember it? The Buddha told the Venerable Subhuti, the name of this teaching, Subhuti, is the perfection of wisdom. Thus should you remember it. And how so? Subhuti, what the Tathagata says is the perfection of wisdom. The Tathagata says is no perfection. Subhuti, what do you think? Is there any such Dharma spoken by the Tathagata? Subhuti said, no, Bhagavan, there is no such Dharma spoken by the Tathagata. The Buddha said, Subhuti, what do you think? Are there many specks of dust in the billion world system of a universe? Subhuti said, many, Bhagavan, there are many specks of dust, Saguta. And how so? Because, Bhagavan, what the Tathagata says is a speck of dust, Bhagavan, the Tathagata says is no speck. Thus does he speak of a speck of dust. And what the Tathagata says is a world system, the Tathagata says is no system. Thus does he speak of a world system. The Buddha said, Subhuti, what do you think? Can the Tathagata, the Arhan, the fully enlightened one, be seen by means of the 32 attributes of a perfected person? Subhuti said, No, Bhagavan. The Tathagata, the Arhan, the fully enlightened one, cannot be seen by means of the 32 attributes of a perfected person. And why not? Because, Bhagavan, what the Tathagata says are the 32 attributes of a perfected person, Bhagavan. The Tathagata says are no attributes. Thus does he speak of the 32 attributes of a perfected person. The Buddha said, Furthermore, Subhuti, if a man or woman were to sacrifice their bodily existence every day as many times as there are grains of sand in the Ganges, and someone were to grasp but one four-line verse of this teaching and make it known and explain it to others, the body of merit produced as a result would be immeasurably, infinitely greater.